Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's a story from Camilla Schwesser.
So this is a story that happened in Southwest Ranches. I went to St. Thomas Aquinas High School, and it was in Fort Lauderdale. My friends and I, we all like to party a lot, and we heard of this party that was going to happen this particular Friday. But it was kind of far away from us, so we decided to pregame a little bit, you know, juniors in high school, we were just drinking. Then it was time to go. So it took us a long time to get there because it was really far away from where we were, like 30 or 40 minutes. So we finally get there. And it's pitch black, and you can't see the road. It's very hard to see where this place is because it's so hidden. So we had to park in the bushes, and then we get there, and I see our friends, Philip and Christian, and they're struggling to get this bonfire started. And we're laughing, we're teasing them because, you know, they're supposed to be these really big football players that are, like, super strong and masculine, and they can't seem to start a fire for the life of them. So I stepped in because I have gone camping a bunch of times, and I know out of everyone in that party how to start a fire. And they're all like, oh, whatever, like teasing about it. And I'm teasing Philip from his position in football or his lack of a position. And we started drinking because there everyone just like stole like drinks from their parents all the time, so, like the liquor cabinets. So there's a bunch of different kinds of alcohol, and we were just going at it. We decided to kind of explore the property. As we were exploring, we realized it was like a property for horses. You know, these people owned horses, so there was a whole area where they would take the horses out to trot or practice walking, and we messed around there for a little bit. My friends Sophie and Ashley, they actually got lost, or I lost them at some point because they went out. They were flirting, but I had a boyfriend at the time, so I wasn't going to flirt with anyone. I was just kind of by myself drinking. But they eventually came back. We were getting really bored at this point because there was only so much to do in the darkness. And we actually bumped into this horse stable that had like 13 horses, like an insane amount of horses inside them. And we were in heaven because we'd never seen so many horses. And we were playing with them and braiding their hair and like feeding them hay and like, at this point, with the amount of alcohol we've consumed, we were really, like, drunk and being super silly. So we had our fun with the horses, and again, we went back to exploring. And we came across this shed, which was very horror-like-esque. It was really sketchy, creepy, not something any teenage girl should go explore. But the guys insisted, they're like, come on, let's go check out this shed. It looks kind of cool. There's nothing to do. So we're like, okay. So we go inside, and immediately it just looks like instruments of horror. There's shovels and machetes and chainsaws, and I'm already spooked out. And there's weird cages that are rotting in the corner. And I see one in particular, and I notice that there's something inside it, some animal. So I approach it, and I see that it's a fox, and it's this really cute fox. It was red, and it had patches of brown, and it looked just like from the movie Bambi, like just a really cute fox. My friends were not interested in the fox at all. They thought it was cool for a minute, and then they went off to explore more into the shed. But I got super excited because around this time, there was a video going around of this fox that someone had adopted, and they were saying that a fox is kind of like a mixture between a dog and a cat. So I got super excited, and I was like, this is my chance to finally own my pet fox. I can have it. I'm going to introduce myself to this creature. So I go, and I stick my finger out so it could smell me, and then I retract, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let it smell my phone instead. I don't know why I thought my phone would be a good idea, but I let it smell my phone. So I went to give the fox the phone to smell, And he did not like that. He grabbed it, he bit into it, and we were just playing tug of war because he was trying to go get my phone and I didn't want him to take it. I eventually like clawed it out of him, like I ripped it out, and a giant portion of the rubber of my phone case had been missing. So I was like, oh my God, like that was horrible. And I ran to my friends and I'm like, look what the fox did. And they're like, oh my God, he ripped your phone case. I'm like, I know, but thank God it wasn't my finger. I decided not to replace the phone case because I thought it'd be a really cool like party trick to say to someone or bring up why a piece of my phone was missing was because it was bitten by a fox.
Camilla Schwesser with a story about high school hijinks.
Yeah, I at first was a little appalled, and then my second thought was, wait a minute, I was in an American high school. We also drank a lot.
But she wasn't appalled at all. It was normal for her.
Yeah, well, she's a little closer to high school age, I guess, and I'm a little closer to the age of her grandmother, maybe, I don't know.
Well, I didn't do that in high school. I wasn't one of the cool kids, I suppose.
Well, the only foxes I know of in high school were what we used to call foxes, the very alluring young women.
I feel funny even airing this story because I don't want to give anybody ideas of stealing liquor from the parents' liquor cabinet.
I don't want to give anybody ideas that a fox is part dog and part cat. That was the funniest thing I ever heard.
And she was going to stick her finger in the cage, and it's a good thing she came to her senses and stuck her phone in instead.
Well, this is what I love about this story. It is just so perfectly an American high school story. It's about the trouble kids get into, the potential trouble that they don't get into. I mean, this could have been a tragedy if she had been a little drunker. She might have lost a finger. And thank goodness everybody was safe and everybody got home safe.
Well, it's a good thing she put her phone in instead of her finger, but I'm still confused what she was thinking.
Well, I'm not sure how much she was thinking, but maybe she was thinking that her smell was still on the phone, so that could acclimate the fox to her smell. What I love about the detail of the phone, and again, I have to always stress, these are true stories, and unless this is a professional storyteller, we don't coach the person on these stories, but people remember, because we are all inherently storytellers, people remember points that are so full of meaning to the story when you look back on it. I love the fact that here was a fox, a wild animal, and here were wild kids. She's putting a phone into the fox's cage, which is about as high tech as we have, certainly as a high school student would have access to. And yet in the same story, she's talking about how these big football players can't light a fire, that she had to light a fire for them. So this is something that is so primitive, of primitive human beings, the most primitive human technology is lighting a fire. That they can't do, right? This fox that is also something of nature, something of the wild, is in a cage. And then we have the ultimate symbol of civilization, the phone. So we have all of these elements play in the story that make it about where we are, I think, in the 21st century. Now, at the running the risk of making this more important a story than it is, it's still such a charming story because it's got all of these elements and because, thankfully, all the kids were safe.
It seems charming to you, but I was taken aback by this behavior.
I was too at second blush, but then you're a father and I'm not. I was more taken by the language, actually. I love the term horror-like-esque. Not horror, not even horror-esque, but horror-like-esque sort of says it all. This is a high school student story, a college student telling it. We are in her shoes in every way we could be. And it is so important for us not just to inhabit the shoes of another human being when we hear these stories, just any human being, but I'm going to take a wild guess that most of our listeners are not college students or high school students. You think that's fair to say?
Yes.
Yes. That was a kind of a kidding question. And I'm going to say for us to remember, yes, maybe some of us are shocked, but for us to remember what that was like on the cusp of adulthood, exploring adulthood. I mean, she says exploring. They are literally exploring in this story. And what did she come out of it with? She came out of it with a phone case that will always be a conversation starter. And what could be better than that? She's always got a prompt for her story.
And in this Facebook and selfie age we live in, I guess it's okay to share stories like this.
And in fact, Michael, I would say that as a responsible, adult, mature college student, looking back on her silly self as a high schooler, she has no reason to be ashamed at all.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a South Florida story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneile, C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.